2025 marks Andrew Jones's third run for a chance to be mayor of St. Louis. He's campaigning again on his experience as a businessman and support for the police. And as the lone candidate in the race who is not currently an elected official, he says he's the person people should vote for if they want change. The retired utility executive joins me next on the latest episode of Politically Speaking. Let's hit the music.
This is Politically Speaking, the definitive show about politics in the St. Louis region.
I thought this was an opportunity to have a new voice in that seat.
And the decisions I make in county government allows me to help people in large groups, and I enjoy it.
We're not using it as a wedge issue. We're using it more as a, you know, what's right for the region conversation.
We need to know what the issues are in our communities in order to address them.
Because people want to see change, and they want to see a St. Louis that works for everyone.
Some days I need to credit, most days I don't. But most importantly, I have to be able to control how this environment is going to evolve.
We knew that in races that have multiple candidates, the only way you win is in the streets.
And welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, Rachel Lipman. Joining me today in studio is
Andrew Jones.
He is a candidate for the mayor of St. Louis. We've already had Mayor Tashara Jones on the podcast, and you heard that air, and we are having all other three candidates on this week. Andrew Jones, this is your third time on this podcast, and for those people who may not be frequent listeners or didn't catch your last couple of appearances, refresh your biography for us. Who is Andrew Jones?
Andrew Jones is a ordinary guy. Andrew Jones is a citizen who looked at things and said that, hey, I need to get involved. As I said before, Aristotle mentioned that a civilization is only as good as its citizens. And I thought that I had something to offer, a way to solve the problems that they're meandering over. And certainly the problems have exponentially grown. It's getting absolutely worse. And since it's doing so, I said, hey, let me run for office. And looking at my background, my experience, have over 40 years of experience in economic development, business development, community development. I like to present it this way, that I've read in just about every department except for operations. So I'm thoroughly immersed in understanding how business works, and that's transferable to the political world. And certainly have a large Rolodex of people who can help, and to certainly what I want to be able to do. I believe I'm intelligent enough to do the job, but you have to have smart people around you, and you have to have those relationships in order to build things. And educational-wise, I've matriculated through Lincoln University, Washington University, and Webster University.
This is your third time seeking the mayor's office. What do you think is going to make 2025 different than 2017 or 21?
Well, I really believe that if you go back and you look at, say, President Lincoln, for example. President Lincoln lost multiple times running for Senate. And I think what happens is that you build up a tolerance, so to speak, or you may be driven by a tolerance of saying that this is tough. It's something outside of your bailiwick, but you certainly want to get something across to people. And it gives you an opportunity to show people that you want to stick to things and to solve problems. And you won't give up because I plan on trying to win. And we'll just keep fighting at it. And that's the short version of why I want to do this and how I think we can get things done.
Is there anything in particular about 2025 that you think makes your message or your background more appealing?
No, I believe it's the consistency of the message. Basically, I think in having this interview today, we will find out, and people will find out, that I still have the same positions. I still know how to solve problems, how to drive economic development, business development to the community, help the community with community development as well. Certainly have been supportive of the police, have been consistent in that position. Certainly we would talking about high-performing police, not just policing for policing's sake, but high-performing police, and I believe they want that as well. Certainly build up morale and get people going for the right things in order to save the city from its malaise.
If the message is the same, what do you think makes it a winning message now?
I think with the 4 points that I mentioned just right there, also with education, it's just something that if you look at what's being presented from the other side, and they constantly come back and say they want change, but things keeps falling down. They'll pretend or they'll manipulate numbers. They'll do everything to say that they want change. And people now are absolutely critically wanting change. And I believe I offer the change that's needed.
So what is the day one change that Andrew Jones would make if he got into room 200?
Well, first of all, without going into the nitty gritty of how things work, we certainly want to be introduced to all of the departments. I want to have a handle on exactly what and who and how things are operating and how they work. But certainly we want to make sure if the state doesn't take over the policing, we certainly want to get behind the police to let them understand. And we've been in touch with them now, just talking about what they would like to see done, building up morale. We'll work on that day one, working with the police, because the number one order that we need to do is public safety, and we want to get that taken care of. And with economic development, we'll start building a economic development plan, something that they haven't done for the longest, and we've been critical of them for not having an economic development plan, something that the public can look at so we can determine where we need to go. So we'll start on those two things right away.
Where do you believe that the current administration has fallen the most short in those critical areas?
Boy, and I'm not the type of person that likes to criticize people. I like to talk about things that I'm going to do. Tashara's certainly wearing a heavy mantle at this particular point in time, but certainly with crime, I believe in heading up the police the way it's going, it's not working. It's not working whatsoever.
What's not working about it? Objectively, crime is down overall in the city as a whole. Obviously, there are individual neighborhoods that are different, mm-hmm. but the numbers overall are down. So what is not working about the mayor's public safety plan, given that by how most people measure public safety, which is crime numbers, mm-hmm. they are doing better?
Well, I would submit to you that you have to believe that the crime numbers are down. That reporting, the city of Chicago, the city of New York have try to report numbers that are not accurate, or they will report numbers and manipulate those numbers where it will show some type of menial types of changes. We're looking at if crime is at, say 100, and they're talking about murders, they'll say the murders are down. If murders are down, you're still up in the 100s, or you're at 120 and you're down to 112, that's still not significant change. And it's not something that's sustainable, because that can go back up depending on what's happening during a particular year. So I question whether or not those are accurate numbers.
What leads you to question whether those numbers are accurate?
Well, because of corruption. Because of corruption and because of things that have happened with the city of St. Louis, when you're looking at reports on travel, you're looking at reports on inefficiencies and delinquencies and doing and taking care of issues and challenges, I absolutely question them.
So you're questioning the police department and saying there's corruption there, because the police department are the ones who report the crime data?
Well, they report the crime data, but the crime data is pushed by the mayor of St. Louis, and she is the control over the crime data.
So you are saying that when Robert Tracy got up alongside the mayor and announced that crime is down 15% 2023 to 2024,
correct,
that those numbers are incorrect?
Correct.
What do you think the real numbers are?
I don't have an idea what the real numbers are, because I believe that they are not intentional in providing with that real data. And I'm submitting that they could provide the data and say that they're fighting crime.
What's your evidence? What is your evidence that these numbers are wrong?
The evidence is that I'm suspicious that they're wrong.
Okay, but that's not evidence.
No, that's evidence relative to whether or not I believe that they're wrong, and I know the history of the city of St. Louis and the corruption that exists in the city of St. Louis, and it surmises that we should not trust those numbers. Trust but verify, and I need to verify that.
What is a program of the current administration that you would keep in place?
I would say that we need to keep the fundamental basic things in place, like say for instance, your trash, your the the forestry department. Some of those things, I think we need to leave those in place. Certainly, we won't come in and just change things out of hand. We won't come in there and just rip things apart. But what we will do is do an analysis over what's functioning absolutely, and we will try to maintain those, and we will improve upon those as well. But it's just like taking over any department. I've taken over multiple departments in my career. And I've always went and made an assessment of what's happening, and then we make determinations on what needs to be changed. But you have to have a thorough understanding of what's going on in order to do so.
What are your relationships like with other stakeholders in the city, where if you got in, did your analysis, which you've talked about multiple times,
yes,
to implement the plans that you have?
Well, relationships with those particular people, I'm just recently retired. I'm had a recent surgery, so I'm getting myself back on my feet. But my Rolodex is thick. My Rolodex is absolutely critical to make sure that we can transcend some of the issues that are going on. But if you look at the information that I've gathered over the years, this is all coming from police officers, high-stakes citizens, people who have intricate roles within the city of St. Louis who provide information for me. It's not that I'm going out seeking information. It's people who are just coming to me because they say they want change. They talk about corruption, and I don't take it for full value of what they're saying, but I take it under guidance. And again, if you notice, I've been very reluctant to say anything about Tashara because I can't verify, but we're looking at the fruits of what's being laid forth. And it is absolutely something that should be questionable.
What is something that you have heard from this thick Rolodex that you've mentioned that raises the most eyebrows for you?
Well, boy, it's a litany of things. But again, we'll come back to this crime thing. And I am taking it under advisement. I am looking at the data and cross-referencing it. But when you look at what's happening with the city of St. Louis with police, we know that just the visual sight of police will make people do something totally different, but they're not out there. So it makes me begs the question, are the crime numbers where they are? Are people safe? Will they be able to respond? Does 911 work, even though we're getting a new facility? But does it work and function because we have personnel there? I could go on and on and on, but I'm submitting that I am the person that can change that.
How would you rank how the city responded to the recent winter storm?
I know a lot of people, and this is a Tashara hour, and I hate to beat her up on certain things because I'm just a fair person. I believe I'm fair. And she got beat up pretty bad because of what happened on the side streets, more or less. And I think hindsight's 20/20, and you could probably look at and say that you can do certain things, but I'm saying things are in the air. And I'll approach it from a different perspective. Things are in the air that I believe that people are trying to make sure that she gets out of office. I really believe that people are trying to make sure that she gets out of office because anything with those side streets, if you go down the side streets, you plow the side streets, you build up snow on each side of those side streets, you block people in, she would be the devil because of that as well. So I'm submitting that there could have been a better approach to this, but I'm also saying that she's not totally wrong, but it certainly could have been a better job done.
What would a better response or a different response have looked like to you? What would have been the tweaks that you would have made in the response?
The response that I would have made, I certainly would have coordinated with other cities and townships that we have some type of collective approach to helping and ensuring that things are done in a better manner, providing the trucks, the personnel, so that we can get some of those side streets done. If you recall, I've been in an electric utility business for over 40 years, and we coordinate and do all of those things with the various other utilities that are in the areas. In Southern Illinois, you have cooperatives, you have other places over there where you coordinate. Someone's not hit as hard, they send their personnel over, and it's a great relationship to have. We will try to do some of those types of things to ensure that we are neighborly with our neighbors, and when we call on them, they can come and support us in some capacity. And we have time to look out for this because we've been knowing about a week or so that this was coming. Prepping and over-prepping doesn't hurt anything. People will go away and won't have anything to talk about, but they won't be able to beat you up on that one.
Given that everyone was hit equally as hard mm-hmm. by this storm, was that kind of cooperative thing realistic? Obviously, if a tornado hits somewhere in Southwestern Electric Cooperative's area, another cooperative can come over if they weren't hit. But the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County got pretty solidly both hit by the storm. There wasn't a whole lot of flexibility in the system.
Yes, they weren't hit as hard, but what you will find out is that they weren't hit equally. And so when people have some type of space or something that they can provide for us, we can coordinate those type of things, even with the state. We can coordinate whether or not we get things done regarding that. But it's the idea of cooperation with the city, and you build trust with each other. And I'm saying that you still have enough time to think through how you're going to approach those things so that you can take care of those and minimize the impact.
One of the big legislative proposals working its way through the Board of Aldermen right now is how to spend the settlement over the departure of the Rams to Los Angeles. What do you think about the current proposal that seems to be on track to be the way the city will spend its Rams dollars?
Well, boy, that's a big issue right there. And you have a lot of people who want something out of the Rams settlement money. That in and of itself is an issue, but it's a windfall amount. It's a windfall amount
of
money.
That is true.
And it's a one-time occurrence. And certainly what we need to look at it as, it is a one-time occurrence, and we need to divvy this thing up to work on infrastructure. Infrastructure is a big, big, big issue. And we can relax some of the spending notions relative to it, but we certainly don't want to utilize all the money and have something for a rainy day because, again, it's a windfall. I don't believe people really understand that this thing is not coming back again. And the concepts that you hear are from people who keep talking about this needs to be taken care of, that needs to be taken care of, and they're unrealistic. I'm saying someone should have been out in front. I'm saying I would have been out in front talking about it being a windfall, that we should work on utilizing some of the interest money relative to that in the snow, for instance, getting more salt, getting all of those things prepped and ready so that we could be ready for the storm off of those interest rates and keep utilizing it in that component part of working with people and working to get people to understand that, again, this is a windfall. It's not something that we would say that will come in all the time, but you can make it last by interest.
With some of the specific legislative proposals that do say we will not spend principal for child care, or we will spend some principal but not all of it for Northside investment, downtown investment, mm-hmm. are those things that make sense to you, where they are indeed realizing that it is a windfall but a one-time, or in the specifics of the proposal, are there things that you would change?
I would, again, change those, even though we'll have people upset. We'll have people upset about child care and things of that nature. And again, I would look at the police as being something that is absolutely in need of particular monies at this particular point in time. But we'll probably have to pull back on those as well because we want to ensure that the interest rates will cover some of the things that we're dealing with. But we'll also have this money for dire emergency because, again, windfall, I can't mention that enough. It is a one-time occurrence, and we can't be distracted on the fact that this is $500 million, and if we do divvy the money up for
childcare. I think the Rams settlement is about $300 million.
After you take
$500 million was American Rescue Plan Act. I don't think Rams settlement has gotten to $500 million yet.
And so that even points out even more that we need to look at this thing as not trying to take care of a special interest because, again, at Southwestern Electric, and maybe I'm jaded in that capacity, but we're talking about fairness to all people. That means getting everyone engaged and not leaving anyone out. But you're certainly leaving people out when you say that child care or this particular project needs to be taken care of. We're looking at things that cover the entire city, making sure the entire city benefits from this. And this is infrastructure, things of that nature, and the rest we'll put aside to gain even more interest. But other than that, I think it's a misdirection relative to the monies.
One of the biggest uncertainties for whoever gets into the mayor's office is the ongoing impacts of earnings tax refunds. And as of January 2nd, I don't have updated numbers on that yet, but the city had paid out about $40 million in interest and refunds from that window they had to reopen. And there are still more pending for 2023. City had set aside about $26 million to cover the cost. And obviously, there's a gap between $40 million and $26 million. I know you don't know all of the ins and outs Yes. of the city, but where, as a businessman, would you look at that underestimation and go, this is where the city screwed up? Why do you think the city got that so wrong?
Well, one of the things that I would submit to you is because you did point out the fact that I am a businessman, and I certainly don't make any judgments unless I know exactly what's going on. So it would be premature for me to make an assessment on whether or not they did something right or wrong. It's just up, it's up to me to learn more about this and then get back with you relative to it.
As a businessman in general, though, mm-hmm. if a company that you worked with, if you know your electric cooperative or other utilities kind of made that big of a mistake, where would be the first area you would look to try and understand that mistake or the first thing you would think may have gone wrong in very general sort of business operations terms?
First of all, if I'm the CEO or if I'm not the CEO, my analysis is that I'm going to start with the top. The person is supposed to know exactly what's happening and find out what happened from them. And we will move from there. We're talking about people who have designated jobs. And if you can remember, I talked about, again, earlier today, a plan, a comprehensive plan. And a plan will detail exactly who did what, when, where, why, how. And we will assess it from that point of view. And from there, we'll see about improving those processes. And if need be, we do have the option to terminate.
How does uncertainty about these earnings tax refunds
okay.
impact city services going forward?
Well, certainly you won't have monies to be able to supply and do the jobs necessary. And for those who will say that we need to get rid of city earnings tax, I'll say that we certainly don't need to get rid of them. It hurts me when it comes out of my pockets. But this is something that is necessary because we haven't moved in a direction where we have a substantial amount of monies in that budget to be able to take care of the things that are necessary. So until we can move and bring in economic development and curtail some of the overspendages, if there are any, or we're working efficiently, we certainly need that type of money. But again, when you don't have that particular money, we're certainly looking for a real quick downfall for the city of St. Louis.
Alderwoman Daniela Velazquez has a bill that would sharply reduce the power of the mayor's office. Now, I don't think this is something that's going to pass this year. Mm-hmm. It's a conversation starter that she wants to have. But
Bill 162?
Yeah, I think it's 162. Yeah. You're better at bill numbers than I am right now. Should the mayor remain the administrative head of the city of St. Louis, or should the day-to-day management duties be in the hands of someone like a city administrator or a city manager style of government?
Boy, this is indicative of, and it's an indictment, to tell you the truth, where people get frustrated and they start looking for ways out. And you're looking for ways out when we do have a mayor, and the mayor's doing their job. They're doing it adequately. I'm not even saying they're doing it at a sublime level, but they're doing an adequate job. This is a way to show and indicate that they're not. Because if we're looking at the mayor's involved with this processes, and she's also saying that we should do something in this regard, then it means that, man, we're trying to make the city run more efficient and more effective in what we're doing. I'm championing that. I'm submitting that we look at these particular things now because the city needs some level of change to be able to do something about the inadequacies, dare I say, the incompetence of the city administrators and people who are in charge and ultimately the person at the top, because I've always said that a fish rots from the head down, and that's generally where it starts from. So if we are entertaining this, it is scary because all the people are saying that we can't get the job done.
Leaving aside who the current mayor is, leaving aside who could be the mayor, leaving aside who's presenting it, at a fundamental level, should the city of St. Louis switch to a city administrator form of government?
I would say no under my administration, and I know you told me not to answer that way, but I would say no under my administration, but currently under the administration that exists now, it is absolutely necessary for someone to consider it and to talk about it at length, because the city is in such dire straits that we have to do something about the city. And if I don't get elected, I think I would be a champion for it.
And we'll be right back after this quick break. And we're back now on Politically Speaking with mayoral candidate Andrew Jones. And what lessons have you learned from unsuccessful runs for mayor and Congress that you are now applying to the 2025 race?
That we're in desperate times, and desperate times require desperate people to be able to get something done, especially if they have some levels of skill necessary to be able to change things. We're talking about politicians doing something and a business person doing something, and the approach is different. We have to have deliverables. We have to be on time. We have to create things with responsibility and accountability that shows up every month when I have to meet in front of our board of directors and say, this is what we've done.
On the political side of things,
yes.
You know, you weren't able to be victorious in those races.
Yes.
What have you learned about how you sell that message to people and get them to listen to what you have to say?
You try to tailor the message to the point where you would hope that people would get it, but you also have to maintain that the city of St. Louis and the people in the city of St. Louis, this is a dramatic thing. It's almost similar. It's so I dare to speak of a father or a mother who's a little bit more harsh, or someone's a tough cop. I'm wearing the tough cop's position. I'm wearing a tough cop's hat, and it's very difficult to get people to understand this. But as things get worse, boy, you don't want to see the city perish. You don't want to see anything happen. But sometimes people wake up. They wake up and see that change is absolutely needed. And this person who used to go over here sounding the clarion call on what we need to do here, what we need to do here, I have expertise to put a lens to that. It becomes more welcoming for those people. And we're just hoping at some particular point in time before the light goes out, that we will be able to get our message across and people will buy into it.
Are there enough people who, as you're knocking doors, you're hearing from your surrogates, are starting to buy into your message to get you to victory in March?
I really believe that is happening. If you notice, I haven't been rah-rah for myself because, again, this is about people and this is about changing the city. We are just giving a basic message that we believe rings true to people. And again, when we talk to the people, they're saying they want change. And if they want change, you only have one option out of the three, because all three are involved with the city. All three are involved with some things that people are upset about. And then it'll be a wrangling back and forth over who's right. But there's been one person who's been consistent on change, what needs to be done, safety, economic development, building services, business services, all of those things I've been consistent about. And we have to shore those up in order to move things forward.
So realistically speaking, what do you see as your path into the April general election?
Well, the path is a straightforward message, beating home that message, ringing it out about change, because the real path, the message is talking about the real change necessary in order to get things done here in the city of St. Louis and head off the tide of this thing falling off the cliff. From education to everything else, it's about leadership, and whether or not we can get people to listen to what's happening so we can get about the business of turning things around.
How do you overcome the monetary disadvantage side of things and being able to get out that message through mailing, yard signs, digital ads, et cetera?
What you're finding and what you're getting me to try to disclose is the fact that my wife is upset at me because I spend a lot of my money. And we get money coming in along the way, and we have enough with digital. And the digital is the most creative thing out there. And the most expansive thing, it doesn't cost a whole lot of money with the digital messaging. Now, traditional messaging with the door hangers and things of that nature, you can get some moderate things done, and we could be strategic. And what we do is also, I analyze, because of my background, it's just who I am, I look at the numbers. I look at where we're weak at, where we're strong at, and we try to position people. And it's a strategy that I think has really worked. I think if you look at the numbers, our numbers are growing. Every time we run for office, who knows, if I get too old and tired, I might just stop short of winning one time. But we continue to grow, and we continue to fight based off of using that digital component part of it, using the traditional manual types of things that are necessary to get our message out, and to have it doesn't hurt that you have a strong leader. I believe I'm a strong leader, and certainly if you give me an opportunity to speak in front of any group of people, I believe I win the day because our message is true, our message is sincere, and the person that's delivering it does a good job. That's me.
This is a race where the majority of candidates are Black. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you think that will play any role in this race at all, given the racial dynamics of St. Louis.
I really don't think it's going to play a lot whatsoever. I believe you have two particular sides that are running based off of what their fundamental ideas. The three people that are running on a particular idea that I think stands the test of time relative to their political parties. And you're not supposed to talk about political parties. In mine, I stand on one particular side. It mentions it lays out the idea that there is nothing associated with race. I believe that is a primary concern. I believe some people would want to leverage it. But I'm submitting that it's not necessary. It should be about who has the message that works. If you want change, that message would be to lean more towards me. Or if you want to see the same thing sustained, you'll move towards them.
Turnout in the March 2021 primary, the first one with approval voting, was something like barely 22%. How do you get people out to vote when so many are just fed up completely with politics in general?
Well, how do you get them out? You get them out by making sure that we talk about the things that are absolutely necessary and not lean on the fact that change in and of itself will happen if nothing does push it in that direction, if you know what I mean. We have pushed so many people towards trying to determine what is necessary when we need to get them to understand that we have to stay on top of what's happening or you'll lose what you have. We have to get people to understand that you'll lose what you have if you don't take care of things. And this is what we're up against. It's almost seems like an insurmountable odds in order to get those type of things done, but you can't quit because we're getting down to the point where the city's population is down 300,000, might be 290, something, somewhere in that area. We don't have much left in the city of St. Louis, and we have to do something about it. And the people disgruntled, others doing well, some are moderate, and I'm submitting that they see the change absolutely critical. They see the change is absolutely mandated that we do something about it. We just have to get a message out that this is the time to do so. It's not about Andrew Jones. Andrew Jones probably has one or two good terms to serve when I do win. But after that, it's up to the people to make a determination that we are seeing things turn around with the right philosophy, and we have to make sure that we move in that direction.
Politically Speaking is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Andrew Jones, candidate for mayor, thank you once again for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
Until next time, so long.